Superstar Country B103, it's 10 o'clock here on a Thursday. That means it's time for the Game, Fish, and Park Show brought to you by Stilson Service. I'm Mike Warrington, and joined with me today is Dean and Lindsay from the NRCS. And guys, it's an absolutely gorgeous spring day out there. It's a little cold, but I know, Dean, you like the cold, so this doesn't bother you at all.
No, this is actually pretty good. We did, coming into the station, did notice the breeze is picking up slightly out there, so started seeing some gravel blow around a couple spots. It sounded like we were going through a sandblaster with the pickup, but no, it's beautiful. Beautiful spring day. Can't be complaining too much. Had a couple nice little showers of rain come through, and so.
And nah, it's not snow.
It's not snow.
Yeah.
But it's been a really nice, you know, even as much as I will admit a nice winter. But it's been a nice winter and a nice spring so far. So hopefully guys can get into the field and, you know, here then get some timely rains after they hit the field. So
I can imagine that this is kind of the time where you guys start ramping up for the summertime and things get real busy this time of year.
Yeah, we're kind of swamped right now.
It is pretty busy right now, that's for sure.
It is busy, and we'll talk about whys and the whens and the hows and all that stuff here in a few, but just a couple other things that we were asked to talk about today on, what is today, the 18th, so what, 28th is not this weekend, but next weekend is the big, they're calling it Eagle Day. I can't remember if it's, like Earth Day or something like that coming up, or if it's already past or whatever. I don't keep up much with that, but so Sand Lake National Refuge is actually doing, for their kind of quote unquote Earth Day, they're going to call it Eagle Day. Got a big long list of things they're doing over at the Sand Lake Refuge. Be pretty cool to go check it out. It's on a Sunday, April 28th, from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Sand Lake National Wildlife Refuge. It's over, I mean, you could get the address, 39650 Sand Lake Drive, but it's roughly 27 miles northeast of Aberdeen. Basically, take Highway 10, and you can go west of Britton. You got to go south a handful of miles, just a few miles west of Britton, and it'll get you there. But Eagle Day is a celebration of spectacular spring migration through Sand Lake. There is birds everywhere over there right now. So visitors are going to have potential to observe thousands of migratory birds as they rest and feed in the wide open spaces of northeast South Dakota. You'll may encounter huge flocks of waterfowl such as snow geese, mallards, northern pintail. Spring conditions are typically ideal for spotting bald eagles. And if you're lucky, you might be able to see a nest or two, so bring some binoculars. I'm sure everybody has been on Facebook and seen the thousands of bald eagles kind of migrating through South Dakota. I think there's been two or three different spots that they've literally had pictures of hundreds of birds sitting, you know, either on the slough or in trees around a lake or something like that. And it's pretty cool to see those things. We've seen bald eagles, golden eagles, you name it, it's kind of been through. So it should be pretty good information, or pretty good day. The event, free event for kids of all ages. So kids are free. Not sure if they're going to be a charge or not a charge. For more information, call 605-885-6265. That's the refuge over there. Some of the presentations they're going to have, they're going to have the Falconry and Raptor Education presented by Fair Group. And that, what is that? I thought that was written down somewhere what that actually means, but it's basically it's a group that puts on a lot of these raptor clinics. It's a bird lady that comes through, and she's got some different types of raptors, and she trains them and has them as a falconer. And that's going to be at 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. They're going to do a live raptor release. It sounds like they're going to release a bald eagle. So what ends up happening is if for some reason an eagle is sick or gets injured, if it's rehabilitatable, so if it can be rehabbed, it'll go to it used to go to the Watertown Zoo, and then they rehab it, and then they'll try to take it out somewhere and release it again, normally within kind of the general area where it was found. So I'm assuming this one was probably, you know, something happened to it on the on the refuge over there, so they're going to take it over there and have it released. So they're going to actually have a live raptor release. They are, I mean, it's pretty cool to see them things come out of the crate and take off at 2 p.m. Then they're going to have a guided bus tours, and they actually have some guided bird tours as well at 1 and 3. So you can see one of the education programs at like 1 and then go on the guided bird tour at 3 or vice versa. Should be a pretty good, pretty good sightseeing event. Then they got Climb the Fire Tower. If you really want to see the surrounding areas and get a idea of the whole refuge and everything that's on the refuge, that's pretty cool and get the chance to climb up there. You don't get to climb up that very often, so it's got to be a day like this that they're putting on to do that. You get to tour the visitor center. That's pretty cool. They got a lot of cool stuff in there, some mounts and some artifacts and stuff, so that's pretty cool. Like I said, the fair group, they'll have some live birds to see. Check out the refuge fire equipment, some grassland fire stuff. And then learn about marsh and its importance to the birds. And then the auto tour route is open, weather permitting. So, most of the time, most of their roads through the refuge are shut down, but they're going to open those up so you can get out there and go sightseeing. So should be a pretty fun day if you guys are bored or have nothing better to do, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, April 28th from noon to 4. Check it out.
Yeah, definitely sounds like a great time if you're into the migratory birds and the falcons and all the raptors, like you said. Should be a great time.
Absolutely. Yeah, and like I said, there's a lot of that refuge that unless you have a hunting license and it's open during that specific time that a normal person doesn't get to see. So, they're going to have that opened up. So it's pretty cool in there. So
I've never been out there. I never even heard of it until now. So
yeah, and they actually have one, the Wabe National Wildlife Refuge. It's not, I'm not going to say it's not cool. Don't send hate mail yet. But, the Wabe Refuge is just, right over there by Enemy Swim Lake. And they got some pretty cool stuff out there too. But Sand Lake has got a lot of cool stuff. It's a big migration, basically flyway for the migratory birds. It's a big nesting resting area, so they get all sorts of stuff. It's more of a marsh, kind of like Wabe used to be kind of a marsh. Now it's a big deep lake.
Yeah.
So yeah, get over there, check it out. I think kids would love it. Parents would love it. And it gets you out of the house, and it's not too, it'll be an all day trip. Get the kids up in the morning, take them somewhere, have lunch, and stop in and.
Yeah, and nobody says you have to stay for the full 4 hours either.
No, but I'll guarantee you start doing some of them events, that 4 hours you're going to feel like went by in about 10 minutes.
Right.
But so then kind of moving to more local and our office pertinent stuff, CRP. As Carrie Huff would say, it was go time. We're busy doing some CRP stuff, but continuous CRP sign up is going on right now through July 31st. So if you're thinking about getting into some CRP stuff, come in, talk to Carrie, and she'll get you lined up. These would be anywhere from 10 to 15 year contracts. Cropping history needs to be or has to meet 4 out of the years from 2012 through 17. So you get a 5 year window of 2012 through 17, and you have to have crop on that area for at least 4 of those 5 years. Proved prevent plant does count as cropping history. And if you want to check out a piece of land, contact Carrie Huff. Just give her a call or stop in and she'll get you taken care of. The other thing over at the FSA side of the office is emergency relief program for crop year 2022, track 2. This is going on now with no deadline date currently. Please contact the office or stop in to get an application and paperwork that you need to get to apply. And last but not least, the 2024 certification maps will be ready to pick up next week.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah, FSA side is also really, really busy with CRP and some of the relief program stuff. And I know 2 or 3 of the ladies next door is trying to work on maps. And so it's been busy.
And actually, if you're coming in for to pick up your 2024 maps and do your certification, so it's FSA, if you're in one of our programs, EQIP, CSP, and you got your practice reminder letter for 2024, this is a great opportunity when you're in the office, come over to our side and let's talk about what you're scheduled for, and then make sure you have everything from us, whether it's your cover crop plan, seeding plan, just touch base that we're all on the same page there, and we can get everything implemented for the 2024 year.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's that side's cranking up as well. But then on our side of things, it's been...
I'm going to do one more for the district.
Okay.
So the Conservation District, we're still in between getting our manager and our staff in place. Our Conservation District Board for Roberts County, they are moving to try to get those things installed, conducting interviews. At the same time, we have our plant orders coming in, or the district has their plant orders coming in, their trees, their perennials. And so we're getting lots of calls at the office, just wondering dates, pickup times, things like that. And so the district has lots of vendors that they get their plants from. They're slowly trickling in, so some orders may have multiple vendors. So just know as soon as the district has those orders packaged and organized that you will be getting a call from them, and they'll reach out to you when they're ready to pick up. And then they always usually post that window on Facebook as well. You can watch the Roberts Conservation District to know about when they'll be reaching out to contact you in those days that those orders need to be picked up by. So just wanted to put that out there as well.
Yeah. And if you're still looking for a new job, a new career in life, I think they're still taking applications even for either a technician or a district manager. And stop in, get an application, or talk to one of the district members, and they'll get you lined up. So, yeah, everything's ramping up, you know. District stuff, and they're, like you said, currently without anybody, but between seed and trees and CRP, and now we're going to kind of focus on what we deal quite a bit with. And so I'm going to ask Lindsay lots of questions, and see, we're going to rattle her brain a little bit. But I'm going to act like kind of a new guy, but I still kind of am a new guy. So we deal with a lot of programs, and it's a lot of acronyms that most people or a lot of people don't understand. And that's like EQIP, CSP, RCPP, CIS. So when we start working with stuff on the ground, we bundle it into like an EQIP or a CSP. But there's a lot of people that may or may not know what an EQIP, CSP, RCPP, or a CIS is. Could you kind of explain a down and dirty version of all that? And then there's also what we considered in the office a traditional EQIP, and then there's now IRA EQIPs. And kind of what's the whole difference, and what's the kind of grand scope of all that?
Yeah, we can go through programs. So EQIP is our Environmental Quality Incentives Program. And EQIP is going to be a broader scope project. It's got a lot of little kind of sub-projects that fall out of EQIP. But in general, EQIP is going to be where we can work with producers on meeting resource concerns for smaller projects. So you have a grazing project, but you need water and maybe a cross fence installed. We don't look at your entire operation there. We can just focus on setting you up a grazing system. We can work on maybe putting in trees for livestock protection. We kind of have those opportunities to work on smaller projects with EQIP. Now within EQIP, right now, IRA, and we have our classic, those are really just where our funding is coming from. That's not really something that our producers have to worry about. The practices for EQIP, or even through CSP, really are a lot of the same. It's just kind of how they're structured under there, and then what the main focus of those projects are. So under EQIP, we also have our, I believe it's Conservation Innovation Strategy. So then those are little sub-projects, or our CISs. So within that, we have water quality, I believe, in Grant County, where they're really focusing on a certain area, putting in grass waterways, wasp cubs, terraces to kind of slow movement of water and soil moving into waterways over there. Our homestead CIS, which includes our county, that's kind of more of urban ag and helping with specialty crop production, if that's an avenue you want to go into as a producer, or really on your farmstead if you wanted to just be more sustainable and put in a high tunnel, raised beds, and really produce that yourself. As well, we have opportunities there. We have the sharp-tailed grouse CIS, which I believe we share with Marshall County. If you're, we have people in that listening area as well. That's going to focus on sharp-tailed grouse area and grazing and facilitating kind of getting their habitat all geared up. So that's one that we offer with Roberts and Marshall as well. And then our RCPP, which is our regional watershed project up here in Roberts, and that's where we are looking at basically protecting those streams and water with larger waterways. So what we can do to create buffers in those spaces, what we can do to maybe pull livestock out of creeks and streams by fencing it off and creating other water sources. Those are some of the things we're focusing on there. And that's really kind of where our EQIP program is. CSP is going to be your conservation stewardship program, and that's where we're going to look at the entire operation. We're going to take into account all your rangeland, all your crop fields, what we call associated ag land, so all the little creeks that run through that may be part of your grazing unit but or your crop fields but don't meet cropping history. We are going to look at all of your land uses and what they're used for and take that all into account when we're planning and trying to put those conservation practices on the ground there. And with CSP, we also, you might hear us say classic or IRA as well, but again, that's just where our funding pools are coming from, and that's more on our end. You might hear it, but that's probably more on our end than what the producer needs to be concerned with there. Then we have CRP. As always, you have that marginal land. You want to develop some habitat, maybe some areas that are too wet. Maybe they're getting a little salty, that we just, it's not working for production anymore. Those are really great areas to put into CRP. Give us a call. Tree plantings are great for CRP. We can do field windbreaks. We can do around farmsteads. We can do for livestock protection, plant trees. So there's lots of great opportunities there as well, but those conversations start with Carrie Huff, and then we help plan those.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more on the Game Fish Park Show here on B103. Superstar Country B103 back here on the Game Fish and Park Show, brought to you by Stilson Service. It's 10:20. I'm Mike Warrington, joined with Dean and Lindsay from the NRCS. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about the programs. And do you guys want to go a little bit more in depth about them?
Well, yeah. What I guess the next question I'm going to throw out to Lindsay, and I'm making her do all the talking today, so sorry. So the next question, you were talking about like EQIP, CSPs, what they do, what they kind of the fixes to problems, but you called the problems resource concerns. So is that technically the problems we're trying to solve, or that you kind of get what I'm getting at there?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
We have our natural resources in conservation, which is what our agency kind of addresses there. So when we have kind of inadequacies or problems with those resources, we call them resource concerns. And so our programs up in our county, we have 8 priority resource concerns. And really, this is for Marshall, Grant, and Roberts, because that's our resource unit. And we get together and we discuss every year if we need to change these based on what's going on in the county, what we hear from producers. And so our main 8 resource concerns that we really focus on in our county is, one is sheet rill and wind erosion, right? That wind coming down off the hills, we saw it today driving in, right? The gravel blowing, really just keeping that soil in place, keeping it out of our water supply, keeping all our good topsoil on our crop fields. So if you're finding you have that sheet rill wind erosion problems on your farmstead, in your crop field, on your rangelands, that'd be something you want to come in and talk to us about.
So what's sheet and rill?
Sheet and rill, different types of erosion on your field. It's just how the water moves and kind of makes those little fissures through where you start to see kind of cutting. You can definitely see water movement there. Gullies is where we get those deeper cuts, right? That's when we kind of get those deep cuts. They're getting deeper every year. Then pretty soon it gets hard to get our farm equipment across, right? Across our fields and do those types of things. But that's an excellent question, because that is another one of our resource concerns that we look at in this county. And we have practices that we can implement to help take care of those as well. Another one we have, we are a big livestock county, so inadequate livestock water is one that we address here. Inadequate livestock water is really where if we have a grazing system and maybe we're not using our grazing system as efficiently as we'd like to because we don't have water over here, or you know, we keep grazing this corner because there's no water, or we're noticing our stream banks getting really beat up, or our dugouts, right, are getting really beat up because our cows are in it, they're kicking up a little mud, our water's getting muddy, the sediment's moving into our dugouts. This is an opportunity for us to come in and help you with that. We can either fence off your dugouts and create another water source. We can help you hook up to rural water in some areas, or with wells and pipelines and using solar to facilitate that. So that's another resource concern we have and we can help you with at the office. Another one is we're seeing undesirable plant productivity and health, whether that's on our rangeland. We see a conversion in the species. We'd like to get more productive grasses, maybe more native grasses out there, or even in our crop fields. Some areas of our crop fields, just maybe the organic matter is not as good. Maybe it's getting more compact. Maybe we're just not seeing the productivity and health that we want to on the landscape or in our production system. So that's another thing that we can come out, talk to you about, and then ways to remedy that. I just mentioned organic matter depletion. That's another one. Keeping that topsoil in place and really building that organic matter. We have practices, you know, cover cropping, no-till, crop rotation. Those are all different practices that we could talk to you about, work with you on, coach you through trying to address those resource concerns as well. Another big one for our county is habitat, right? Fish and wildlife habitat. We love our game here, right? We love our fish here.
Absolutely.
So anytime we can put in pollinator habitat, we can help with field borders, you know, some of those areas, even to create corridors that we can help wildlife move through, or nesting, or shelter, those types of things. And a lot of people come in and they will tell us the wildlife or what they specifically want to target, and we can work with our state biologists and help facilitate that. So terrestrial habitat is another big one for us up here in this county, or fish habitat. Another resource concern we have is sediment from erosion, and like I said, that's just keeping that topsoil in place and we're not moving our soil into our waterways, whether that's your dugout, whether it's a lake, our wetlands, or our streams. So we want to help keep that soil in place, keep our water quality clean and clear, or to the best of our ability, or try to improve that if we can. We also have plant pest pressure. So that could be you're seeing increased pressure from invasive species. Maybe it's, you know, those bugs in your field, or insects, or disease, even microbial. Those are all things that we can work with as well. And talk to you about and how we can implement different practices, maybe crop rotation, again, cover crops. Maybe we're thinking of a different land use for a little bit. Maybe we're gonna do a hay or range planting until we can get this problem under control and then go back in and crop it later. So there's lots of different options we can do. But those are basically our main resource concerns when we're looking at putting practices or putting land uses into a program. Are we addressing those resource concerns, and how are we addressing those resource concerns?
So, yeah, and in you know, like the sheet reel wind erosion thing you were talking about, can you, and I know this is a loaded question, because yes, you can, because I'm doing it, but so, you know, there's things out there that we help fix that by, it's called the grassed waterway. Can you, I don't want to use the word double dip, but can you put it into multiple practices? So can it be in like a CSP program and in CRP at the same kind of time thing?
That, it cannot. Nope. We use one practice to address one resource concern. Now, practice can address multiple resource concerns. Like I mentioned cover crops a couple times, but when we're putting it in the program, when we identify a resource concern where you're going to use this specific practice to do this, and then we're going to use a different practice to address another resource concern there.
But resource concerns can be addressed by different practices.
Yep.
But you can't have more practices into like a program.
I can't have one practice that's going to solve five different resource concerns, basically.
So, yeah. So, like she was getting at is there's a lot of issues out there. And you know, when I first started, I thought, well, resource concerned, and you're like, okay, you know, topsoil's blown away. That's the resource concern. I didn't think it as, you know, I really didn't get down to the real finite type issues of, well, yeah, you're, you know, microbial level at the ground soil level might not be great. I never thought that, or, you know, water to supply to cattle. Well, they got a pond out back, right? You know, that's water. Well, there's a lot more to it. So
it's a science.
It is. It's a science. And I mean, we're looking at, you know, a lot of people are like, ah, there's a dugout out there. That's where they go to drink. But then you start looking at it. Well, you know what? If you might have, I'm not saying it's bad water or you know, toxic water or anything like that. But if you could, and we're doing a lot of this now too, is, you know, we're cleaning out dugouts, fencing them out, putting like say a solar pump in there and pumping it to a tank and keeping livestock out of that water, and you don't have all the junk floating around in it, it's a little bit better water quality. So therefore we have pipe it to wherever. You can cross fence on a pasture, you can rotate, you still have the one good source of water, or, you know, into like a BDM hookup, or, you know, tapping into wells and moving water around and helping facilitate, you know, rotational grazing with a good quality water source. And you know, that fits our programs, you know, quite a bit, and throwing in fence and, and stuff like that. So if there's something on your farm or ranch, I know I keep getting in trouble for just saying farm, because there's farms out there, there's farmers and there's ranchers, and they're different. Just ask them.
And some operations have both.
And some operations are both. But anyway, if you're having problems and you want us to come out and look, you know, kind of now, you know, when I know we're super swamped right now, because, and we'll get to this after the next break, because it's kind of the, you know, some of the deadlines, I shouldn't say deadlines, they're kind of deadlines, but they're kind of not like absolute drop dead deadlines that, oh, we hit the deadline, so now you can't even come in and talk to us about it for another year. That's not the case, but we'll get into that after this next break. But, you know, today, or, you know, the next few days is kind of the time you want to drive around your operation. You know, I know a lot of ranchers / farmers that raise livestock are calving. They're getting ready to start moving some of their herds out to grass and water, and they're like, maybe, you know, that wouldn't be such a bad idea as putting some water here, and I could do this and this and this. Or, you know, they're coming off their, you know, kind of their, you know, Lindsay and I talk about this quite a bit driving around, is kind of their winter pasture, you know. We get a lot of people in like the grazing schools or that have operations outside of kind of Northeast South Dakota. And they're like, well, you know, you can still rotational graze during the winter. And, you know, one of the prime examples last winter, they came up and said, yeah, you guys really can't do rotational grazing. You got too much snow. So, you know, looking at how to improve that and how to get some resilience on your grass and your pasture, you know, once you move them off. But
can't rotational graze winter.
Right.
Or would have more trouble rotational grazing in winter. We can do in the summer.
Yep. So, yeah, we'll, you know, come in. Now's the time to be thinking of some of these issues that you may or may not see, you know, while you're out there driving around in the planter going, you know, it just kind of seems like this isn't as productive as it was, say, 5 or 10 years ago. What do I need to do? And just kind of take either a mental note or a physical note on it and say, you know what, I should really come in, talk to these guys and see what they can help me out on, and see if we can't get a little bit better, bang for our buck.
And really, you know, we talked about the 8 priority resource concerns for our county. There are more resource concerns we can address, and we do address. Like, we are really starting to see kind of that saline soil creep over from Spink County. We're starting to see that white on our fields. starting to have a little trouble with productivity there. You know, we might have ponding and flooding in some areas because some areas are holding more water than they used to. Basically, if you are having a problem and it's affecting your productivity on your operation or how you want to do things, you should probably give us a call and come talk to us. Really, I do want to talk about just kind of what we did in working with producers over the winter. Back probably a couple of years ago, funding was a little tighter for CSP and EQIP, and that kind of discouraged people from applying. This last year, just for EQIP, I think we funded between Marshall, Roberts, and Grant about $950,000 worth of plans for EQIP. And CSP, I think we're a little over $1 million in what we funded for projects this last year that are going to go on the ground this spring. Or we're working to finish that up. That's what we're busy with now, finishing that up so that these producers are ready to go and implement their practices and get their plans rolling this spring. That doesn't even count our smaller CISs like I talked about that didn't include our RCPP, which is our regional project. So those will be extra dollars that we are getting these projects moving forward, and we're getting conservation on the ground up in our corner of the world. And we are slated to get this round of funding again, really. So if you are thinking about projects, summer is our best time to come out and talk to you and see what's green and how things are growing and how your cattle are rotating through. Get us out on your operation if there's projects you want to think about and you're thinking about that next round of getting your app in probably around November. Let's have those conversations now, really.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go after this break here in a minute. You know, like I said, we have quote-unquote deadlines, but they're not like a drop-dead deadline, and Lindsay just kind of hit on that real fast. And after the break, we'll kind of talk about deadlines, when we should come out, when we should look at things, and kind of how our deadlines work for these programs.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back in a few minutes here on B103. Superstar Country B103 back here on the Game Fish and Park Show, brought to you by Stillson Service. We got about 25 minutes left in the show. Dean, what do you got for our last 25?
So, you know, I know we're throwing a ton of information out to you. But like Lindsay said, you know, while you're out there kind of messing around, or let me rephrase that, sorry, out there driving around, checking your fields, moving cattle, planting, seeing there today, you know, you're driving from, say, one side of the farm to the other to look at something, and you see some dirt blowing around and said, you know, holy, I'd like to keep that topsoil in place. You know, kind of take a mental note, a physical note, come in, we'll sit down, we'll pull up all your maps, and, you know, we'll start looking at that, what you're thinking. And we've said it for about the last, I don't know, maybe year on the radio show, that all this, and we already talked about IRA versus traditional, but we knew we were going to have a pretty big, lack of a better way to say it, shot in the arm with the money to be able to be spent. So, you know, you've probably heard us say, if you can dream it and there's a resource concern there, come in, we could probably get it paid for and get it done, which I think,
or
cost share, yeah, cost shared. But we can help get it done, and I honestly think a lot of guys are listening, and they're really starting to look at their resource concerns on their farms or ranches, or let me put them all together and say operations, and looking at their operations from start to finish, from one end to the other, because we are getting a lot of people coming in and saying, hey, you know, I want to try to keep some dirt out of the cricks, and but yet I got to get from one side of the crick to the other, and my cattle walk through it, and I got to get through it. And one way we can kind of help with that is stream crossings. We have erosion, we have grass waterways, we have, and one of the things that Lindsay and I talk about quite a bit is, and she hit on it real quick, with saline soils, the white soils. I think one of the next radio shows that we're going to do is, or that we would like to do, is that we want to sit down and talk about what saline soil is, what does it do, what doesn't it do, why is it where, and kind of some of the fixes for it. And, you know, because as you drive around, you do see it. And you know, now that I've taken this job and actually start paying to the attention to that a little bit more here and there, you do see a lot more of it than what I, you know, initially did. But anyway, so be thinking about that. We're going to talk about saline soils next time. But, boy, you know, literally sit down, get an idea of some of the problems you have on your farm or operation, and come in, visit with us. We'll sit down with maps, and we'll make notes on it. We'll draw on it. We got different colored Sharpies. And if anybody is listening and they're sitting at anybody else's desk in the office and they walk to my desk and steal stuff I acquired, make sure they put it back. Just throwing it out there. People like stealing markers
not,
in our office.
Not to call anybody out in particular.
Yeah, nobody in particular.
Well, I'm here, so I'm not stealing them right now.
Right now. Did you get there right now?
Right now. I'll get you later.
But no, anyway, we have, you know, we'll have markers. We'll mark things up, and we'll draw lines where, here, there, and everywhere else, and get you fixed up or try to help you get fixed up with some of the best solutions we can think of. And of course, even on the way over here, we were talking about, you know, we're probably not, I definitely know I'm not the guy to come talk to about grazing and grazing systems. Lindsay's a little bit more familiar with it, but she still has issues that she's got to call somebody. So if her or I can't come up with the answer for you, don't feel bad. We're going to literally look you in the eye and say, I don't know. Give me a couple days. I'm going to call a guy that should know and get a hold of them, and he will get you the answer. So one way or another, we're going to run it up and down the chain until we find you the right answer.
And we have our area staff. We have support specialists, people that specialize just in agronomy, just in engineering, just in range, soil science, that can come up within a couple days, and we can take a look at some things.
Yep, absolutely. So, I mean, we got people that, like Lindsay said, we'll literally, you know, we make a phone call a couple days later, would be able to come out, meet you or meet with us, and we can meet on your farm, ranch, operation, and get you a little bit better idea. And then during that conversation, that person, you know, has something or another question pops up, at least then the quote unquote foremost expert will be there to answer it. But, so anyway, I know that's a lot of babbling for say, look at your operation, come in and talk to us. But with that being said, so we are kind of already in our first, I'm air quoting, deadline. So how do the deadlines for, say, EQIP, CSP, RCPP, how do our deadlines work? Are they like solid deadlines? Are they kind of a flexible deadline? What does a person say, I come in today and I already know we're probably past a quote unquote deadline or coming up on one that technically is supposed to be tomorrow. And am I out of luck? I'm Dean. I come into the office today, literally right now. I heard you on the radio and I have wind erosion issues. What do I need to do? How does a producer visit with us, and where do we go from there?
Okay, if you came in today, we would talk about it. We would probably want to come out and look at your operation. If it's something that you wanted to move forward with and implement practices and look at a program, then we would talk about getting an application, filling out your
workbook.
The workbook. Thank you.
No problem.
But really, when you see on farmers.gov, you will see the terminology, batching dates, ranking dates. So batching is really just our call for applications. So we've already had that. November was our last one. RCPP will have a separate batching date. We just had that April 5th. We try to get those dates out on the radio. We try to put those out, farmers.gov. So the batching date is a call for applications, and that will give you a deadline that if you wanted to join this program, at least CSP, EQIP, and any of those specialties under that umbrella, then you're going to want to get your application into us by that date. After that date, we will start working with your eligibility. So we're going to look at your AGI, your 902s, your 1026s. Basically, your information is updated with FSA. I know that's a lot of other acronyms and stuff, but most people that are working with FSA know what those are. make sure that we are all up to date with our FSA records. Then from there, we're going to move into, we are going to flesh out the final plan, and then we would rank that. And again, ranking is going to depend on what you're doing, on which acres and which land uses, and are you addressing not only resource concerns, but then are you addressing our Roberts County or Marshall County or Grant County resource concerns there as well. So then we rank depending on funding. They'll go through, basically you get a number and they just start pulling till the funds run out. And if your app is approved or pre-approved, you'll get a letter saying, hey, do you want to move ahead with this? Then you come in, you'll sign your paperwork for your plan. Once we're obligated, then your app is a contract, and then we are ready to go, and you can start implementing these practices on your field, and it's official at that point. The starting point probably is getting us out there. A lot of times when we come out, we have questions on one or two things. We walk around the operation, we look at things, and a lot of times producers will say, oh man, you can do that? You can help with that? So it's worth the time having us come out, visit about certain things. A lot of times we can help with more things than you're even thinking about. But watching for those batching dates, and that's definitely when we want our applications in. So batching is the application deadline for the different programs.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, like she said, get in, start the process, application, or you know, start the process. We'll come out, we'll visit with you. We'll come out to the farm, ranch, operation. We'll look at things. We'll get an idea of what's going on. And I'm not going to lie to you. We'll probably call you, or I will call you 700 times saying, well, you know, I just thought about this. Would this be better or this? Or, hey, I can't remember. Do we got to do this or do that? So there's a lot of things that we're going to throw kind of at you. You guys are going to throw at us. And it's just going to take time to work it out. But, you know, it's like, you know, just like the other day, a gentleman's having an issue with the water for his cattle. Well, you know, he kind of was looking at a tank and for a pipeline and tank. And it's like, well, okay, that's a good place, but have you ever thought of putting it in this place? That way you can serve more than one paddock, you know. And he's like, Never even thought about that. I thought just making it here would be solve my problem right here. But yeah, like, because we drove around in his UTV and he said, yep, you know, I kind of have water issues up there, but I just don't know if how to take care of that or if I want to do that right away. Well, just by simply moving one tank, you know, maybe a couple extra 100 feet, you could serve three paddocks instead of one and it would take care of your problem. You know, we fence off the water supply a little different than just, you know, running the fence right through the middle of your tank. Maybe we put some gates up or some fence up and you use that one tank for say 3 or 4 or 5 different paddocks just by opening a gate and closing a gate. And then you can move them right through there. You know, they already go there. You open that gate, you kind of push them through the water, have the other gate to the other pasture open. They walk into that one, you close the gate behind you and you already got to move. So it helps with moving too. So
really that's a big thing. At the end of the day, it's the producer's decision and the plan has to fit the producer's operation.
Absolutely.
So we can throw things out. We want to give you all the options. That's why we have a lot of back and forth. But at the end of the day, the producer is going to put in what they feel they can implement, what will work for their operation, and what they're going to be successful with. And that's what we want. Yep. That's why we want to get out in the field with you now, have those conversations, because it does. There is that back and forth, and a lot of times you got to think about things. Maybe we talk about it, and then you kind of want to watch how things go this season, and then come back in the fall and put your app in. And we don't always, you know, our conversations don't always end in going into a program. Sometimes we just provide technical service, which is part of what we do as well. We can come out, we can talk about it. Maybe you don't want to do a cross fence. Maybe you want to try a hot wire first and see if this is something you want to do or your cattle are going to be okay with, and if this works for you. And sometimes we just talk about that. Doesn't end up in a program. Looking at trees, you know, given a seed plan for a pollinator habitat. That's, you don't have to be in a program for us to design and do some of those things for you. We can provide that as a technical service as well.
Yep, absolutely. So we need one more break yet?
Yep, we'll take one more quick one, and then when we come back, we'll wrap up the show here on B103. Superstar Country, B103, 1054, wrapping things up here on the Game, Fish, and Park Show, brought to you by Stillson Service. Dean, you had one last question.
I lied. I got two.
Two.
So really, really fast, and this could be a yes or no answer, does size matter? So what I'm getting at, if I own 20 acres or 20,000 acres, can I come in and do programs on that?
Absolutely.
All right, cool. So just because you're a small operation or a very large operation, don't feel like you can or can't come in and visit with us. Then the last question I have. So I kind of came in the untraditional way into the, say, federal job or into the NRCS job. What is a normal, say, a junior this year or a senior in high school this year? Can they get a position to actually start kind of getting their foot in the door? And if so, what are they?
We are actually, I've been contacted by a couple of high schools on job shadowing opportunities. I know there's a lot of classes in high schools that they want the kids to get career experience so they can go out into the community and shadow different people. That is absolutely something we do at the NRCS. If you would have an interest or your student has an interest in environmental science, range ecology, soil science, agronomy, engineering, let us know and we can develop something where they can come and shadow and get experience in those areas. At the same time, if you're a senior kind of looking to go into college or looking that route, we also have our Pathways internship, which is a really great internship. It's basically your first step into working with the government. So you're basically hired at your grade, and if you spent 6 months with us, 5 months in the summer, then that's 6 months that you have put into your federal position, basically. You've started your career there. Whether you come back and do it the next summer or you continue working with the agency or through the Pathways program, which you can, because we have NRCS offices in every county in South Dakota, if you're going to school here, even in other states. I mean, this transfers to other states too. You can continue your accumulating that job experience, accumulating those days as part of your governmental position. It's a really great opportunity for students. But that's kind of the bigger step. If you want to go that direction, if you want a job shadow right now, get out there. Even if you're going back to the family farm, maybe you want a little more experience in range, you want agronomy, contact us, let us know. We have opportunities for that.
I know it's always great, like you mentioned just right at the end, with family farms. Usually a lot of times you see where things have been passed down, you just do the same thing each time. Going out, getting that experience, and seeing how other operations do it is great as well. So
absolutely,
definitely want to go out, get those experience if you're a younger person trying to get into this business.
And absolutely, you know, and now that you said that, you know, we got guys, younger guys that are coming into the office that, you know, have been on the family farm. They had grandpa there. You know, they did it this way since 1920, and by golly, I'm not changing today. You know, well, then dad got that farm or operation. And, you know, he's looking at it going, you know, my dad and my dad's dad's been doing it since 1920. I'm not changing. Well, now, you know, we're starting to see this younger generation. They're starting to, and by all means, don't the older generation, don't get mad when I say this because I'm right there with you, is the technology has gotten there. You know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, the technology that they have to be able to play with is so mind-boggling, how you can sit in your combine, have your combine tucked to a tablet, and that tablet will tell you what kind of fertilizer you put, at what kind of a rate, at what kind of seed, what kind of seed rate, what you're getting per bushel, what you're getting for production, and put it into this cool, pretty little map of everything, and it will tell you, okay, well, you know what? You just made 220 bushel an acre on this spot, but you only made 70 here. Well, what are we doing at that 70, you know, where, say, that's 10 acres? What's going on in that 10-acre chunk? and what do we need to fix it? It's just crazy. And then you can literally plug that tablet back into your sprayer, into your fertilizer spreader, and it will, you literally drive across the field and it turns things on and shuts things off when and where it needs it. And it's just mind-boggling.
Everything evolves, right? Yeah. Operations evolve.
So exactly. Operations evolve. Things change. Come in. We'll talk to you, and we'll try to help you get the best operation out there you can.
And I think something that might get lost, too, is this technology was created to help everybody out. It's not made to – it's not out to get you.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I'm sitting at the computer right now, and I think that thing hates me.
Well, that's probably just your fault, Dean.
It is. I'm not going to lie. Not going to lie. And Lindsay knows, because if you would like quiet, do not sit next to Dean, because he's, I'm not swearing, but I am saying this thing hates me, and yeah, but anyway.
Yeah, that's how it is.
Yeah, but come in. No, definitely come in, talk to us. Let us help you get the best operation you can going out there. So,
all right. That's going to do it for us here on the Game Fish and Park Show. I want to thank Dean and Lindsay for stopping by today. We'll be back same time next week. We got more tunes on the way here on B103.